Okay, folks, I'm going to start this meeting at the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for Wednesday, October 21st to order. Please mute your stuff, sell your phone, put the dog away, turn down the game, and let's all allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all. All right, Mrs. Lambert, roll call, please.
Tom Wyszulinski.
Here.
Tom Gosdecki.
He's muted.
He is on mute. We'll come back to him. Anthony Broadnex, absent. Derek Nimitz.
Here.
Dave Castellanos. We're on mute.
Here.
Ron Ware. Robert Ochi.
Here.
LaVon Whitaker.
Present.
William Baker.
Here. All right, we have a quorum. Next up is the approval of the of September 16th, 2020. Motions, modifications, changes, what say you?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes from September 16th of 2020.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor of approving them, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, either none, they're out there forever. Rolling into the chairman's report, you can see those minutes and audio of these fabulous meetings are all available on the website. So if you haven't, please go there. Also, the information from the Corps and the inspections are there. We try to put all of the data and all of the information that's generated by the Commission on Projects in the Watershed on that website under the premise that's just the right thing to do. Remember, this is a $275 million man-made flood control project. If you do not do maintenance, you have issues that we saw in 2008. As long as we're drawing a breath, majority of the people that are on this Zoom saw what that does and it did to the community. Hopefully we never see that again. But keep in mind, we're trying to manage Mother Nature. And when you get 10 gallons of water for our 5-gallon bucket, we might have some issues, but we're far better prepared today than we were in 2008. This is an economic development project. By doing the things that we were able to do and continue to manage those, there's close to $4 million a year that are not required to go into mandatory flood insurance by the people that live in our community. That's money that goes back into our community. And that happens every year, by the way. That, in fact, is something not too many people get to say. But enough about the history, what's going on. This is a project that will always need attention. And thank you for everybody for helping us do that. That said, we'll approve the claims for October 2020. I'll entertain a motion for said.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve the claims for October in the amount of $883,798.62.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
And a second. Mr. Repe.
Okay. Thank you. I will go through the claims as I generally do. And if there's any questions, I will be happy to answer if I miss something. The largest claim by far is Earthworks for $376,327. They are general contractor for the rock riffle out in Lake Station. They've been doing work now for just over 2 weeks, accumulating a whole bunch of stone that will ultimately consist and make up of the dam. Austin Equipment for $57,175. That was the cost to take out all of the sand that had built up at the point of Wicker Park, where Hart's Ditch and Little Cal meet. That was our high velocity channel, and all the sediment that they removed, that was the price tag for it. City of Crown Point for $35,544, which is a reimbursement for the Sowerman Woods. Oros, which is $74,879.85 for the project at 45th Street and Hart's Ditch. I will have pictures of that as well. I have pictures, I think, of all these that I'm talking about so far. Acquisition, where we've agreed to acquire parcels at the direction of the Army Corps from the City of Gary Parks and Recreation for $166,000, as well as the redevelopment for 13 and the City of Gary proper for $5,500. Patrick Engineering providing us that construction management at the Deep Revel Rock Riffle for $41,340. Beyond that, we have our normal spraying for weeds and control of the rocks that we have, or the baskets that we have along the project. That's for $4,000. Mr. Haygood was the tree cutting gentleman who cut down our trees in Marshalltown at the cost of $8,000. Everything else is NIPSCO, Cardinal, some just general testing for the project. If you have any questions, I could answer them.
All right, bringing it back to the commissioners, is there any questions with regards to any of the expenses for October? Okay, I'll ask my questions, Dan, when you go through your presentation next. There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Commissioner Schlinski. You're on mute. We'll come back to him.
I'm not on mute. My phone is telling me I'm not muted.
Yes, Wyszynski is. Tom Gazdecki.
Can you hear me, Jody?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, my phone indicated I was not muted, but anyway, I have a question. With regards to the invoice from Oros and the backup submitted by Burke for it, the Oros invoice shows $76,827, and I'm not sure how they arrive at all that. I didn't go through it in detail, but the amount on the claim is different. So maybe you guys could just give me a rundown of what I'm missing.
Let me get to that. It'll take me a couple seconds to get to it, but I will try to get to it and explain.
Sorry, Jody, I was in a different screen.
Just so that you know, the process is, they submitted to Burke and the county. The county signs off as to being, they're the technical project managers on this, but I will still get you an answer here once I can get to the claim. If anyone else can.
Near the back of the pack.
Oh, it's down the back. All right. Fair enough. Anyone want to sing a song or anything? That'd be great. All right. So, 73048. 6600. Are they taking the 10% retainage off of the 8,000 or the 20% retainage? I'm just trying to do quick math here on a.
Well, I see that the first amount matches the 8,366.
Right.
Right. Burke says item 4 riprap protection matches the invoice amount. The 73,040 matches the item 6.
Right.
Right. But then when I look at the pay request from Oros for on their invoice, item 8, they're only asking for $13,1750. Yet Burke has got them plugged at $3,247. And the same with the last item, where item nine, they're requesting an amount that $76.61, which doesn't match the amount on the Burke backup. So I'm confused.
All right, well, I'm still working. If someone from the county is here, maybe they have a quick answer. But I'm gonna look for you.
See, now that was funny.
Well, hey, I'm being honest. I'm gonna look. I'm trying to do all the work that he has already done, because for some reason I can't find Oros's initial claim.
All right, well, we'll get that and we'll resolve it somehow for guys as it relates to how that thing was built. But anything coming out of the county needs to have two or three scrubs, please.
Well, I'm still want to get the answer for him.
Now, if we were all in a room, I would entertain y'all. But since this Zoom thing is, I'm very uncomfortable and I can't get a read on everybody.
You can entertain me. I'm okay with it. I don't know if I'm going
to. You do your work.
Hey, I don't know if I'm going to come up with a good answer, because I'm just trying to find Oros to begin with. So you may not be satisfied with any answer that I come up with, quite honestly. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm feeling a little bit of pressure here.
Well, everybody's watching you.
I know.
Dan?
Yeah.
Can we just go ahead and just table that and just move on to the...
I really don't want to table.
We got to approve the...
I understand.
Because here's
for the sake of time, we need to move on.
I've got 30 days out from me approving it again, so...
Okay.
So... Tom, are you suggesting, and I'm just asking, I see what you're saying with the items eight and items nine, it's 13, 17, 50, and they have 32, 47. So that's a variance of what? Almost $2,000. And then item nine, they have 76. 80, 89, 60. It's like, I don't know where they came up with. I'm going to come up with a suggestion if you guys could just.
Hey, Dave, can we just approve the amount of 74, 879, 85 as listed on the claim sheet and make up any variance or discrepancy on the next draw request?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Okay, so if I need to amend my, I mean, that's just a question, so I second the claims, or that answers my question. We'll look into it. Thank you.
Is that your only question, Mr. Gostecki?
Can you hear me?
Questions on the claims? You have a motion and a second.
Just for clarification, Mr. Chair, just for clarification, we're not amending the amount of the claim request. It's staying.
Okay. Yes, that's correct.
Mrs. Lambert.
Okay. Tom Ruslinski.
Yes.
Tom Gostecki.
Yes.
Derek Nimitz.
Yes.
Dave Castellanos.
Yes.
Ron Ware. Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker?
Yes. All right, paying the bills. All right, Mr. Repig.
I'm still trying to figure out my problem here, but that's okay.
All right, well, you're going to figure out the problem. And then one of the questions that I had was, you know, on the Siorba and where we are with the master plan. Is that on your executive report?
That is, and there appears to be a $5,000 error in the reporting, at least the way I look at it, but okay. So I'm gonna start with pictures, so I'm gonna share my screen here. because that's the best. And so when you're in a pandemic, you figure out things and you think about things that have caused you trouble while you're out in the field. And I'm sure it's caused you guys some grief. Those of you that go out during the hectic times that no one knows who the heck we are. I've got an orange light on top of my car, but besides that, they really don't know. And so we had a logo finally designed for us. And this is going to be our new logo, so that we will put this on some yellow shirts or some orange shirts, so that when I'm out in the field, as opposed to just being the person that gets out, you know, the general contractors know who generally I am, subs not so much, and certainly the general public. So this is our way to identify it, and it's a pretty cool design. This will be the little pocket logo, which is, you got the little river and the beaver and the green space and the whole nine yards. So I just thought I'd share that with everyone, the viewing audience. I think it's pretty neat. And something that, quite honestly, that we need to incorporate so that people know who the heck we are when we go places. This is part of the Rock Riffle project in Lake Station. You are looking to the south. You will see, of course, the little excavator here. The dam is over in this vicinity. This is where the trailer parks used to be, and they started taking out some of the foundations that were still there. And you'll see in the next picture the pile of them. And there's the pile of all the foundations of all the driveways and pads that were all laid in that area that need to be taken out and moved. These are the power lines that will also be removed. We have NIPSCO and we also have Comcast on both of these lines, so they will be working to remove those hopefully in the next day or so. You will see, and I talked about it in an earlier session, but this is the little diversion channel that you will see, and I have another picture of it. This is looking, you're looking to the northwest at this. I sort of flipped around. This diversion channel was needed so that we could work actually on the dam. There's a geotextile that is the basis of it. And then you'll see in later pictures how it looks today. But this is the channel that is used to we're gonna be able to move the water around while we have people in the channel working. This is just another picture of that. And then this is what it looks like this morning. So you can see a little bit of the geotextile on the side here, but this is all riprap with placed stones so that fish can hide and rest while they're swimming upstream. The dam is in this vicinity here. This is, once again, looking to the south. So this is a little footbridge that's needed to get over to do some work on the other side. Closer examination, there's that pile still that exists of all the patios. And the pads that are there at the NIPSCO poles. So just want to give you perspective of what's going on there. I know some people that are on this call went fly fishing. Here's fly fishing in Lake Station. These gentlemen were very successful in catching some good sized fish underneath this dam. This will be a good before picture when we show the after of what this dam looks like currently. This was taken a few days back. So just want to give you that idea. Speaking of dams, this is a dam that we came up upon. Actually, one of our hunters came upon it, but we had an issue. The town of Highland kept on reporting back to us and saying that the water at Kennedy Avenue kept on creeping up and we don't know why, there's no rain. So we couldn't figure it out. We were checking all the normal pinch points and bridges and we couldn't quite figure out where that was. One of the hunters over the weekend was out between Chase and Grant Street and came upon this, thankfully sent us a picture, says you probably should check this out. We did on Monday, and so it's pretty healthy looking dam. And so that's just one view of it. This is me on the bank. You can see how much water that's being held back. This is all the west. All this water needs to come this way. there's probably 3 or 4 feet differential between below the dam and above the dam. So I was able to actually go out here in this vicinity with my waders and actually pull down some of the dam just to see if they would rebuild it, and they have. So we're going to go out there tomorrow. Once again, just another picture of the dam. And then here's a drone picture of the dam so that you have an idea. We ended up opening one small section here. We were able to get in from this side. And so you can see the water pouring out, but eventually this all needs to come out. And so that's the ground view of it. We were able to open it up. And once you open it up, the water sort of works as a helper to you by pushing more material out, and you just have to sort of keep on picking at it, and it will eventually give way. So just to give you a perspective of how much water we let go, here's our graph. I know USGS is on the call, or probably is on the call. Here's our gauge at Grant Street. The numbers may not show or may not be easy to look, but this is 5 feet. So it's 5 feet is where it was hanging out the entire time. So 5 feet downstream of the dam. We had a little bit of a rain event over the weekend on Saturday. That is a, shows here. And then you can see right about noon when we opened up the dam where it was ending up. And I can tell you later on today, it was just over 6 feet. So we increased the elevation of the water downstream by 1 feet, 1 foot by just opening up that small little part of that dam. So that's how we sort of need these gauges to give us perspective. Like I said, Highland was checking their gauge and it was going up. Burr Street was going up, and we just couldn't figure out why it was doing so. We noticed Grant wasn't going up, so we knew about where it was, but this is a very remote area, and thankfully one of our hunters was able to come back and tell us that that was located here. We're finishing up bank stabilization with our partnership with Munster and the county. And this particular photo is what we've accomplished. This is the Twin Creeks subdivision. If you remember, there were a couple residents that came to our meeting to talk to us about the bank stabilization. And this is the area that we did. You can see it a little bit further on, and it continues a little bit. You can see there that little downspout where we have it protected. It's actually more protected now so that it doesn't drain directly into the soil. Here's the other version of it. These are the gabion baskets on the left. This is just the stabilization with the small rocks that are there that allows for it to be stabilized. So you can see the little bit of a transition there. And then these folks' backyard now is a lot better off than what it was. So that is all I've got for that part of it, for the audiovisual part. I'll give you back the screen, I think. Did I give you back the screen? Oh, I'll stop sharing. There I am. So with that, you have any questions on those pictures before I get to the next one, or we good, Mr. Chairman?
I mean, is there more pictures, or are you talking about the other projects, or just the ones that you took pictures of?
No, there actually is. You know what? I forgot that there is one more picture, and I don't know how to necessarily do that. One second here. Nope. In slideshow.
Hopefully we get together next month, huh?
Hey, look, I'm sorry. Am I sharing this now or no?
No.
All right. Hold on. I'm getting good at this. If I do.
Yeah.
Here, I'll do this one. So this is a picture. Thank you, Paul Daniels, for taking this picture. But this is the project off of Camellia in Munster. This is 45th Street. This is taking it to the south. Unfortunately, Paul put it in a PDF and I couldn't get it into a PowerPoint, so I was really stuck. So, and I didn't have my computer master Jody with me, so I was really in trouble. But this is now what it looks like from behind the scenes. You see the baskets that started. These are the parking or the driveways that go behind these apartments. So this will all be extended out and will be in good shape. So I will stop sharing now. And I'll go to, those are all the pictures I've got. Now down to the regular report. We finalized the purchasing of the partials for the School City of Gary, which is important for us and our project out in Lake Station that I showed you previous. That property, 70 some acres, is on the west side of where we were doing our diversion, but it's necessary so we can put the boat launch and some of the other amenities that we're gonna put in that location. We've had an agreement verbally with the City of Gary to purchase the property that the Corps has required us to do that. They're going through all their process in order to properly deed us that property. I've been speaking with an engineering company that deals with Artesian Springs that has great experience with them. And so we're gonna try to get something going here so we can get the Artesian Spring in a better situation than it is now, more accessible to people and in a better shape. Right now, it's just coming out of a block, a concrete block, and in a very difficult position to get at. I had mentioned before the Army Corps of Engineers are inspecting a wall between Colfax and Calhoun for its stability. They are coming out tomorrow. Folks from Detroit and Chicago will be in the area, and I plan to meet them as well as our plans for Burr Street closures at Burr Street for the train tracks. We have submitted or will be submitting plans to them so that we'll no longer have to close those gates when it's a high water event. And our tell is at 12 feet at the Burr Street gauge is when we have to close it. We already spoke really quickly about the Lake Station Dam. We're also working on a prairie that's just located to the north of the dam, clearing some of the land from all the debris and some of the dumping that's occurred. And we'll be planting a prairie of approximately 4 acres, which was required by the Department of Natural Resources to do so with our mitigation efforts and the dam disruption. We are in the process, or Burke is in the process of doing work on the Griffith Levee, which is right there by the old Griffith Golf Course, which will ultimately help folks remove themselves from the flood insurance program. We may also be looking at a pedestrian bridge over those tracks or an at-grade crossing at those tracks so we can connect both of those trails in that area. We met with Crown Point about their projects. We've completed the transfer of equipment from Garcia to First Response. They will be the new contractor doing the gates in Gary. So all the equipment has been turned over and signed for. We signed all the drills, all the tripods, all the generators that it will be needed for them to complete their job. We'll eventually have an advisory board meeting. We have some applications building up, but we also have some applications that are still in the fryer because of the pandemic. We try to meet with them electronically, but hopeful November, we will have an in-person presentation so some of these applicants can be heard. On the agenda is the USGS contract for water temperature. We've had some good discussion back and forth. We've agreed that three of them will be the ultimate number that we will pay for at the tune of just over $10,000. And those will be at Hartstitch in Munster, Lake Station, Liverpool gauge, as well as the Burr Street one. So we've also, past weekend, Saturday, we participated in a cleanup off of Chase Street. I know Dave, Commissioner Castellanos, was there. I was in quarantine, I suppose, so I wasn't really venturing out anywhere, and not at least not with the public that I could cause problems for. So other than that, we've got nothing else besides some other small activities going on.
All right, Dan, I got a question. What's the update on Wicker Park and Hart Ditch?
Oh, you know what? Why didn't that get in the presentation?
Yeah, why not?
I have pictures for that, too.
Okay, well, while you're thinking about that, also, where's the watershed update from Ciorba? And the other one that I'd like an update on is the historical component project as far as before we lose anybody, where are we as far as the interviews on that?
So backwards to forwards, we're setting up interviews right now with people. We were hoping that it would, this whatever was going to calm down. It hasn't, but we're going to be able to do it. We're just going to do it differently or distantly. As far as the Ciorba, there are four communities that haven't responded yet. They've gotten an email from me. Two of them, well, we've had six total, but four of them truly should be submitting, and I'm not going to call them out, but they should be submitting because they're in the core of the watershed. Two of them are on the fringe and generally don't participate. And the answer on your correction for the Hart's Ditch, I showed you the bill. I'm disappointed that I had some good pictures. We took out all the sediment. They're fixing the trail that is immediately close to the to where Little Cal and Hart Ditch meet. And then they are actually working, I was just out there today, on taking up some of the material to lower the levee for the 600 feet for the correction of the issue at that place. So that's where we're at. It took a little bit longer than we expected to take out the material out of the high velocity channel than what we expected.
Could you do me a favor, Dan, with regards to Ciorba, as opposed to waiting for these municipalities who are not participating, could you have them start doing the draft so we could see something as far as what they already have completed, so we can focus on that as far as for budget for 2021?
Correct. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
10-4. That's it for me. Thank you. Anybody else have questions for Mr. Repay? Project Tracker, what's going on in the field? Talk to me.
Hey, Dan.
Yes.
I see Sivash is on. Does he have a comment regarding the plans for the Griffith upgrades?
Yeah, go ahead, Sivash. I know you guys started. Go ahead.
Yes, we have already. Thank you for opportunity, first of all. But we have started some supplemental drillings on the existing levee there, which we needed, and also additional survey information for the interior drainage. So those are the two items we have been actively working on, and it will be so we have already started and going forward. Since I have the pleasure of talking to you all, just want to tell you also that the City of Gary Redevelopment Commission just approved a contract for us to look into securing a LOMAR for a stretch of South Levy Gary, which Dan Repay is nicely also helping us with. But I want to tell you that I know all of you in terms of Little Cal Commission, and idea is to take advantage of the built levy and to give people some relief behind this levy, both economical development wise and also for the publisher, as Chairman pointed out. Hopefully Gary would be the next into that participation. That's going to take time, maybe a year or two before we have some answers from that, but we have just got the approval to start. So this is a good thing for the thank you for the opportunity.
All right, any other questions from the commissioners to Mr. Repay about what's going on in the field? All right, be there none, moving right along. Next up, you're gonna introduce the presentation, Dan, and set that thing up.
I could try to introduce it the best I can. I haven't seen the full presentation, so what I will say is, you know, we had a partnership, how many years ago? I guess I have to check Project Tracker. It's been a couple of years, maybe a year and a half, where we set up where they were going to enhance some parts that they've identified as wetlands and some places where they thought that we could do a better job. And we've allowed for $300,000 for them to go ahead and work to enhance it. And I think they're coming back here today, I think, to show us what they've accomplished so far. And if I'm wrong, I'm sure they'll all correct me. So I don't know if Brad, you're going to be the lead or who's going to be the lead on this, but I'll give it to you, and you can interject or put whoever you want into this.
Great, thank you. Let me share my screen. Do you all see that presentation?
He does a better job of it than I do.
All right, that's great. Well, thank you. Thanks, Dan. And thank you, everyone on the commission, and Jody for setting this up and guiding us through this whole thing here. My name is Brad Kasberg. I'm the Wetland Restoration Manager for Audubon Great Lakes, and we're here to update you on our project, as Dan mentioned, regarding the Little Calumet River Marsh Bird Conservation Area, which is our restoration project looking at improving conditions for state threatened and endangered marsh birds like the least bittern. I'll be presenting with Craig Zanstra from the Lake County Parks and Recreation, as well as Frank Feraldi from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. One of the unique things about this presentation, or about this project, is the diverse amount of partnerships and a range of participation we've been able to garner over the past year and a half throughout the entire Calumet, not just the stretch of wetlands that we've been working on, but aside from the folks presenting with me, I also want to call out to the attention of our partners, the Wetlands Initiative, the Nature Conservancy of Indiana, and the City of Gary. And of course, this project wouldn't have been possible without the Commission's funding and additional funding from NIFWIS through Shi-Cal funds. So just a little bit of background to Audubon and our work. We have 11 chapters in the state of Indiana and just under 30,000 members. And one of our major accomplishments here is the process of restoring and protecting up to 64,000 acres of wetlands that we deem as priorities. And of those 64,000 acres, 2,000 of those acres lie between the stretch of Highland Heron Rookery and the Marshalltown neighborhood, or just to the west of I-65. And it's apparent when you look at the data across our work at Audubon or our partners that this 2,000 acre stretch is one of the most, if not the most important series of wetlands that can be restored to high quality marsh across the entire state. So I would like to just thank you all for your support for this work. As Dan mentioned, you have provided us with $300,000 as a way to kick off this project. And we have leveraged those funds 3-to-1 through this initial phase. In the first phase of the project, we took a three-pronged approach to addressing wetland health in the Little Calumet River. First and foremost, if you would have guessed, invasive plant control in priority restoration areas. Second is the engineering assessments and design for water control structures and drainage manipulation. And third is the community engagement piece to foster stewardship and enhance recreational opportunities throughout the system. And of course, soon after initiating this project, created an agreement through your support and the support of Indiana DNR to work with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to lead the analysis of systemic improvements to the wetlands and their drainage patterns through an in-kind partnership. So I'm excited to cover a lot of that progress that we've been able to tackle over the past year and a half. We have had aerial applications of herbicide at one of the wetlands on MLK Drive, and then some other restoration at a few other sites on the groundwork. All in total, that's 196 acres restored of really thickets of Phragmites. And we've also hired a crew locally through Lake County Parks to sustain these investments in the landscape. Additionally, we've worked across 750 acres to monitor marsh bird populations. Again, these are endangered or threatened species, and worked with the Army Corps and other partners to design future improvements to address a broad array of wildlife. Through our community engagement program, the Wild Indigo Nature Exploration Program, we have collaborated with the City of Gary as a primary partner. Brenda Scott Henry has been an essential ally in our work here. We've connected with local block clubs, Marshalltown neighborhood representatives, and other groups and individuals with an interest in regenerating Hatcher Park, which is adjacent to the Marshalltown neighborhood, and other public access opportunities along the river and throughout the wetlands of the river. We've built a coalition of partners and community members that have created an inclusive and collaborative vision of active recreation along a river teeming with wildlife. And here we just highlight the newly installed pedestrian bridge with a National Park Service design to suggest some further riverfront access. So summing up this work, we're really poised to implement a potential phase two of this project. The Army Corps has identified two water control structures, one at Highland Heron Rookery, one at MLK Wetlands South on the map here, that will address some more systemic issues of habitat management. But we're also looking to support those Lake County local crews, as well as finalizing some more complex designs at Marshalltown Marsh and adjacent wetlands, and ultimately improve public access and increase visitation throughout the river. And we're really excited to continue to work with you to bring back these threatened and endangered birds, like the least bittern from the front of the slide, to the Little Calumet. And now I will hand it off to Craig Zanstra, the Superintendent of Planning and Natural Resources for Lake County Parks and Recreation. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity. Lake County Parks is really excited with all the work that's been done Little Calumet River over the last several years. Lake County Parks in the 70s, early 80s, I think, started being involved along the Little Calumet River. Because of the flood control project, and from the beginning of that, there was always a recreational aspect as part of this project, along with that habitat. So Lake County Parks, being a county park agency, was set up appropriately to be able to handle some of the recreation and also some of the habitat creation along the Little Calumet River. Because of the work done initially in that time frame, Lake Etta County Park was established. Also, the groundwork was laid for a Three Rivers County Park and Lake Station in Gary. So because of that work initially, we had park sites that were established along the river. Even I know Lake Etta, when it was established, there was a partnership there with the Little Calumet River Basin Commission, which still is in existence yet as far as the Little Cal owning some of the property at Lake Etta. And so that kind of directly led to some of these county park sites, which got us to this point. In order to achieve some of the goals that we want to get to with our restoration work in some of these wetland areas, we do need to have crews working to get that work done. Some of the work that's already been done has been scale spraying of herbicide to do some of the larger infestation areas. Last fall, some of the sprays started. So our crew is made up of a full-time contract employee that we hired back in June, and they started in July. Also, there's been a couple seasonal staff that's worked with that full-time person. And so at this point, they've basically treated about 15 acres of property, a lot of it along the edges where the spray first happened last fall. And the crew is able to get in and do work individually on plants and not do large scale spraying. So some of the spray that was done last fall, you've already had native plants coming back up through the Phragmites and some of the areas that have been sprayed previous. So they're getting in, spraying some Phragmites resprouts, some purple loosestrife, plants that we don't want to see in those wetland units. So they've been very successful at getting those and then being able to spot the native plants that are coming up and not spray those and to make sure that we're letting those spread and to multiply in the coming years. The bulk of the work they've done has been at the Highland Rookery this summer and the fall, also at Martin Luther King Drive South. At that unit, they've been doing a lot of work, and they also did some work by Lake Etta County Park. It's worked out really well. As we move into the winter now, we are going to keep, like I said, that we have a full-time contract employee. That person will be working with some seasonal staff and doing winter work for us and some of those same units. We'll be removing some of the unwanted woody plants that are inside the units and also maybe on the outside of the levee in some areas. Some are invasive and aggressive, so we're going to remove those to help any future infestations around that area. Also, we're going to go ahead and sorry about that, my cat's crazy. We're going to go ahead then in the coming time also with that being done. We're going to be looking at efforts in expanding our recreational areas and the connectivity. Some of the big areas with that, with our planning, we're looking forward to the Marshalltown area and connecting 21st Avenue, Hatcher Park, Marshalltown with Three Rivers County Park. That's a key for us. And especially now with the acquisition recently of the Geary Schools Environmental Education property, the former property there in the Three Rivers, and with the work on the dam and the bridge coming in from Lake Station, it makes for a more of a an area for people to get to at Three Rivers, and then from there go north into some of the areas along the Little Kemet River that we'll be working on. So having those connections will be very important. Also, Dan, you mentioned Klein Avenue, Burr Street, that's key. Getting that connection with the bike trail network, having that done, and that way people east and west can meet, and a lot of people from Hammond, Griffith, Highland, Munster can get and go east towards some of these areas that we're working on, and vice versa. People from Geary, Hobart, Lake Station, New Chicago, they can then go west and then access some of these areas further to the west. So I think that's great news. And then also we're looking forward to connecting Three Rivers with Lake Etta County Park and the trail network that's being established on the levees themselves. Being able to get from each county park to the other will be key. And then also accessing the river levee trail system will be wonderful. So being able to make that connection happen someday will be wonderful for the citizens of Geary, and then also connecting back west. So we're looking forward to that. And kind of just, you know, wrapping up my presentation here, I just want to say that, you know, Lake County Parks is really looking forward to the coming years, appreciate what we've already accomplished and what we're doing now, but also long term, I think we're situated with our county park sites on the river levee and on the river itself to be able long term to do more planning and more maintenance for recreation and for the habitats that are being enhanced and restored along the Little Kemet River. So I think the park board and our park department itself are committed to making that long-term commitment and hoping to work with others on this call here tonight to make that happen. So we look forward to it. With that, I turn it over to Frank Viraldi from the Army Corps.
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me? Yes. Cool. Hi, my name is Frank Viraldi, and I am a restoration ecologist with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. I've been with the Chicago District for about 23 years, and I am a certified planner and technical reviewer that works on all kinds of ecosystem projects throughout the Great Lakes and Ohio River system. Slide. As you all know, the Army Corps was the lead agency back in the 70s for planning and then into design and implementation of the Little Calumet River Flood Control Project. Our district and our division also has good expertise in ecosystem restoration. We have about over 50 projects in the region right now, including those states, and we've also been supporting the US EPA. Particularly the Glenpole part with ecosystem expertise and actually doing some of the work for them. And so we were approached by Audubon to partner within the Little Calumet River, and we were excited to hear that. And so we got together and start talking with the partners and thought it'd be great to start a planning study just to kind of do a introductory to the Army Corps getting involved here, which is called a Planning Assistance to State Study. You can see the cost share there. Partners were diligent with their funds and for these sites that we're looking at that Brad mentioned for in particular. They leveraged their funds to double it. And not only that, they gained U.S. Army Corps expertise. And not only that, we're intimate with the flood control project, so we know exactly what we can and can't do as not to impact that. Slide. That's just the slide of the Locale River system and all the levees and stuff. Put it in the slideshow in case someone wanted to look at it, but I'm sure everyone's seen things like this before. Next slide. Okay. And so our kind of first and main task was to take a look at the Heron Rookery in Martin Luther King South and try to get the internal hydrology figured out and how we can maximize its function to support native ecosystems, and in particular marsh. So we designed a couple of small structures. Those two on the right are just examples. The top one is an example the Minnesota DNR put into one of their wetlands. And then the one on the bottom is actually one we put in on the south side of Chicago at Indian Ridge Marsh, right on Torrance and 126th Street. So these little structures can effectively manipulate the internal surface hydrology of the cells. They'll be able to maintain water between the existing condition, which you see now, and a complete inundation of the entire site by about a foot. And we ran all of that through our flood control modeling. It doesn't even show up in the model, so it has no effect on the flood control functions of the cell, positive or negative. It's just way too small kind of thing. Which is great because now we can do things out the ecosystem without worrying about adversely affecting the flood control effectiveness. A little bit of maintenance required on these structures to make sure they stay working because they are going to be the hydrology kind of keystone. So they'll need to be cleaned and the boards changed out and stuff like that, not too onerous. And if there does happen to be a lack of maintenance, it would only result in changing the ecosystem that was induced by it and still have no effect on the flood control project. Slide. Here's the conceptual kind of cross-section of the Heron Rookery water control structure and where we recommend to locate it. Based on our modeling. Our engineers are currently designing these to appropriate elevation, and we'll also provide flood inundation maps along with the simple set of plans and specifications we will be providing Audubon. Next slide is the same thing. It's for the MLK South. You can see the red dash where the small structure would go. And then the same kind of type of structure there. And then for the other priority sites, which is Martin Luther King North, the small parcel that is just downstream that we've called the Wedge, which is between Marshalltown Marsh and the MLK North, and then Marshalltown Marsh itself, we did some planning to figure out what we could do there because these sites are a little more complicated and have a bit more opportunity in the naturalistic sense. So we determined historic condition. We looked at restoring subsurface and surface hydrology and riverine connectivity between the three sites. We looked at restoring the hydrogeomorphic and fluviogeomorphic functions, which are fancy words for how the water interacts with the land and how that creates and sustains habitat and provides the setting for native plant communities. So everything from flooding, erosion, deposition, rivers moving around and wetlands going up and down. That is kind of the concept and principles here. And then we, once we had that kind of figured out, we looked at the alternatives. We looked at some alternatives for each site and kind of gave a rough order of magnitude cost. And we would love to in the future sit down and discuss opportunities that both Army Corps and GLRI funding could contribute to the local funding and desires to implement these larger projects. And the next slide is just an example of the alternatives we looked at Marshalltown Marsh. So slide on the top left looks at restoring hydrology by disabling drain tiles and grading and stuff. And then we have five successive alternatives to restore the river there and its floodplain. And this site is interesting and unique because it has an old marl bed and probably had large swaths of hemi marsh and would be ideal for marsh birds. So that's all I have, and the Army Corps is really excited to work on this stuff and start meeting folks that also work on the day-to-day maintenance and stuff with these sites. So whenever you need set up a meeting with us, please give us a call, and we'll be there.
Thank you again for your support on this project. I hope this was informative, and we really appreciate your time, and we're happy to answer any questions you have. Thank you.
All right, Jody, did you unmute everybody to bring it back to the commissioners to see if they had any questions for these gentlemen?
Yes, commissioners should be unmuted if they want to add something.
All right. First of all, thank you very much, everybody, for the presentation. That was outstanding. Mr. Botts, we also saw the Wetland Initiative video. Thank you for sharing that through Kay Nelson. That was outstanding. So, you know, obviously, this is another example of decades of deferred maintenance as it relates to this river project. We're trying to take care of a lot of things in a short period of time. The help from your group is going to be paramount in bringing back some of the wildlife, including the excitement of the Highland Rookery, because as you're aware, as you get further west towards the state line, you find more and more density for the people on bikes, and a lot of the folks who help fund what we do will be able to enjoy it as opposed to some of the places that are still a little more remote. Any questions from the commissioners as it relates to what these folks are trying to help us accomplish?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Tom Gazdecki, can you hear me?
Yes.
So I have a couple questions, most, you know, toward Craig and Brad. With regards to the treatment of the invasive species, have you guys sought out any type of student volunteers or done any type of recruiting at the local high school and college levels?
That's a good question. We have formed a pretty good partnership with Peter Avis and Spencer Courtright at IUN. We are working with them. It hasn't happened in this particular stretch of the project, but we are formulating ways that we can get some of that college curriculum, college credits that Spencer Courtright does with the levee restoration.
And then I have a comment. Everybody's talking about economic development and Lomar and all these things that we're going to do to provide opportunity in basically habitat that's kind of targeted toward a wetland if it wasn't targeted toward development. Is that a true statement? I mean, I'm asking a question. I mean, you know, some of these areas that we're going to take out of the floodplain in a naturally occurring flood environment, how do you supplement that with, you know, in-kind restoration or, you know, making sure that when you do develop large parcels that they have, keeping in mind opportunity for environmentally sensitive remediation and retainage type of thing.
Yeah, I would defer to Craig. I think you're Lake County Parks is a bit more experienced with that than Audubon.
Yeah, you know, as far as this project goes, we'll be working within pretty much within the levees themselves, within the wetland units within the levees in those flood control areas. So, yeah, we'll be working in places that wouldn't be developed anyways. They're there for flood control, habitat, recreation, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I think, you know, in the future, as economic development happens along the Little Cal and some of the benefits of the project allow for that kind of activity to happen, then more people, I mean, as mentioned earlier, you've got a huge population west of the Rookery. No doubt you've got development on both sides of the river and it widens out. So I think, yeah, having that opportunity is going to allow, you know, more people to access the river, the recreation, that kind of thing, and will lead to a better quality of life. And if there's one thing in this area we see, we have a lack of open space compared to counties around us. So having this large area of benefit people for public recreation long-term is a huge hit for Lake County.
Yeah, so how do we pressure the people that are so enthusiastic about getting everything paved over to also consider your concerns and the, you know, public's general health and well-being?
Well, I think as they see the levees are paved, as more trails connect into these areas, as more of this project happens, I think you're going to see people being able. Of course, us, we're positive. We're excited about the project. That's our job. But yes, I think as some of this happens, some of the projects are connected, some more of the word gets out to people. We do more work as far as outreach, education, that kind of thing. Then I'll see, you know, you'll see more people that probably aren't aware of the project or as excited now. They're going to get more excited as it happens. Also, in this COVID area, we're seeing that our trails, our parks, since, you know, February and the March have been very, very busy. People don't want to go in the gyms. They don't want to be inside. They want to get out to recreate. So this kind of system available for the general public is even more important now. You're going to see more use of the trails, more use of space. So coming years, I think you're going to just end up seeing more of that. So,
hey, Craig, this is Bill. So one of the things that you mentioned earlier was about the Phragmites and having some folks go after Phragmites. And that's a big one because, you know, as some of you on this has heard before, we have a lot of it and we have a lot of control over just what we have. But there's also the Indiana Department of Transportation. There's all kind of other locations where the Phragmites are everywhere. When you have people doing Phragmites work, please contact Repay's office to be able to see if we might be able to extend some of those boundaries. And if we can't work out while they're doing this in the proper timing, to be able to help some of the other bodies get some of this stuff taken care of, as opposed to waiting for bureaucracies to catch up.
Sure, we'd be glad to do that.
Is that something that your office could help spearhead?
Sure do. Yeah, we will do that. Yeah,
absolutely. And then between the DNR with Derek or Commissioner Nimitz, we would also be able to expand into those boundaries as well. So while we're doing it, we try to encompass what's going on in the environment as opposed to do geopolitical boundaries.
Yep.
And then also while you were mentioning it with all of the new wetlands coming in and the birds coming in, even though we didn't get a chance to have any input on the new logo, maybe Dan can do one of those where the beaver is replaced by a nice waterfowl.
That would be appropriate.
And I could ask one question. Mr. Botts, here, with here. The Wetland Initiative, you helped on a lot of things, and we had a chance to walk around some of the property. Do you have something that you might be able to add?
Well, I'll just thank you, Chairman Baker. I'll just say, I think all the presentations have summed up the project very nicely. I just want to say we're very excited about this, and this is a great example of where you can. We'd like to sometimes talk amongst ourselves of sort of getting positive jealousy going amongst communities. You know, where you can turn what is currently. You know, it is a flood control area and it is pretty much neglected as a sort of terra incognita, I think, even for a lot of folks that live very close to it, turn it into a nice amenity, a beautiful thing that people will like being near and like being able to visit with their kids. They can just walk to it, ride to it. And, you know, you've got to have the sort of the sexy on that. And that's the birds. That's the big, beautiful, striking birds that people are not used to being able to see right out of the side of their backyards. And we can do all that here in part because of your commission having protected all of this and set it aside that you have taken care of it And then that lets us come in and do the kind of thing that we can do with the Army Corps' expertise and so forth. So this is, from my seat, just kind of the ultimate win-win scenario, and we're very pleased to be part of it.
Thank you, sir. Commissioners, anything for this before we move on?
Yes, this is Derek Nimitz. If I can ask Brad just a couple of questions. And then, so my first question is, it seems like the project maybe started in 2018, and we've been talking about controlling invasive plants and Phragmites, but can you talk a little bit more about the data concerning the actual marsh birds? So for example, do you have a baseline and then you restored these areas for the past 2 years? Have you seen specific birds trending upwards during the breeding season? And then my follow-up question is, in 2018, we had awarded $300,000 for this restoration work. And I can see maybe about $38,000 have been spent. Can you talk about what the plans are moving forward?
Yeah, thank you. So we have been monitoring at these sites, some of them, I believe, for 4 or 5 years, a few more recent than that. But there's 750 acres that we have volunteer monitors going out there to monitor these marsh birds. Following restoration work done in 20, basically we were awarded at the end of 2018, so it would have been the 2019 growing season. So we only have, following fall of 2019, only this year's worth of data, which, if you can imagine, is with COVID, we had some limited abilities to track marsh birds. So we don't have full trends yet. It takes a year or two for that to really reveal itself. But we have seen similar projects where you do a large-scale restoration and you add one of those water control structures in, and you see an absolute boom in marsh birds. That's true across the Calumet. And in terms of costs, we have had a very significant amount of construction or contractor work come in this fall, which is a bulk of those funds, and we have just been sent those invoices within the past week or so. And then the same is true with the Lake County Parks crews, not invoices not yet happening yet with those payments. So basically we're scheduled well on our way to match those funds.
Thank you, Brad. I appreciate the information and the work that you're doing.
Good. Mr. Chair, I had a question for Brad. Brad, back at your slide, your last slide, I believe on Chase Street, you sort of show you guys on the back. It's a little ABCD.
I can't hear you.
Okay, maybe it's a little bit better. All right, great. Brad, your next to last slide, I believe you showed on Chase Street, it sort of looked like everybody was standing on a deck area. You had it bubbles labeled A, B, C, D, and E. I wasn't able to really capture everything that was going on that particular slide. So I don't know if this presentation is going to be sent to Dan and going to be available for the commission to take a look at and reflect upon in the near future. But if it's something that can be shared, I would appreciate it. And I think I may speak on behalf of the commission.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can. I'll share out the presentation. I'll also share. Those are designed by the National Park Service. I can share just those PDF images as well. And I'd be happy to talk about that with you. And Brenda Scott Henry from the City of Gary actually took those out to a public event for like a design charrette sort of just presenting it to the public. So I'd love to walk through that with you and talk about Brenda's experience with it and then okay. Public reaction.
Okay. My only other comment would be I heard you guys both talk about contracts. We tried to do our due diligence and fulfill our minority participation requirements as well. So I would just encourage everybody that we contract with that they also help us in that effort to make sure that, you know, whatever type of projects that we're doing. I really do love the diversification that I see in the engagement and the volunteerism and the contacts and resources you have with the local high schools and community colleges, and would just continue to emphasize as well the minority participation and engagement as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. And we take that very seriously, and would appreciate any assistance you have in terms of contracting as well. We're open to exploring companies that you've worked with to fulfill that mission.
Thank you. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Anybody else for these folks from the commission? Be there or not, Dan, you want to wrap that one up, please? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how you want to wrap it up. I guess Derek sort of asked it, the question that I was going to ask, what's the next phase, and, you know, how are you going to build this out? Because they still have 170 on it. And from the letters that I'm getting from some other folks that you've asked for support from, I'm assuming you're going to come for a phase two.
Oh, you can count on that.
I have to ask.
Yes. We're exploring funding options and would be very much appreciative of future support if and when we come to ask.
When do you think phase one will be complete?
Our COVID obviously slowed things down, right? That's true across the board. So the other set of funding, the Chi-Cal funding, that was extended to the end of June 2021. And so ideally phase two would kick off right after that, ideally.
And it's worth noting, and I think maybe Bill's probably already heard this from Kay Nelson, but we're already working on some significant funding opportunities for phase two. We've got one big application in, and we've working with Kay and another role that she has on some regional Great Lakes level potential funding, and the Audubon folks have some particular irons in the fire as well. So we're pretty optimistic and full speed ahead on that phase two.
Okay, thank you very much again. This is exciting because it is a component of what's been put together back in the 80s, not only flood control, but also to have a recreational component. And while we're at it, we should make it a great nature environment as well. And there is a possibility to show everybody that mix is viable in this environment. We appreciate the, your work on that. Hurry up, let's go. Get the rookery taken care of, and the quicker we go, the more we can get done, because who knows what's going to happen. All right, moving right along. Next up on the agenda is other issues and new business.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to approve a joint funding agreement with the United States Geological Survey for Little Calumet River water temperature monitoring during the period of October 1st, 2020 to September 30th, 2021. The combined agreement amount is $15,330, with the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission contributing $10,665 and the United States Geological Survey contributing $4,665.
Thank you, second. Commissioners. A motion, is there a second?
Second.
All right, we have a second. Mr. Repail, a brief description.
Initially, we had these water monitors. They were able to install them for free under a grant that they got from the federal government. That grant had run out. They've asked us to participate, and we've agreed to do these three sites, being Liverpool, Hartstitch and Munster, and then Burr Street and Gary.
Thank you. Any questions with regards to this one from the board? Be there none. There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Tom Wyszlinski?
Yes.
Tom Gazdecki?
Yes.
Derek Nimitz?
Yes.
Dave Castellanos?
Yes.
Ron Ware?
Yes.
Robert Ochi?
Yes.
LaVon Whitaker?
Yes.
William Baker.
Yes.
All right. Dan, about what time do you think they're going to be able to get that, these in? I mean, is this a COVID delayed issue as well, since it's the government, or is this something that we might see before the snow flies?
I think they're already in. They just were a matter of we were going to pull them out if we didn't have any funding.
10-4. Thank you. All right. Next up, my favorite part, statements to the board from the floor. If you'd like to address us to help move this thing along or have any questions, comments, please keep it to a certain time limit. Mrs. Lambert will run it, but if you'd like to go, Ms. Lambert will tell you what the rules are.
Okay, if you have something to say, there's a lot of you here, so if you can send me a chat or raise your hand so that I can see that you have something to say, I will be happy to call on you.
Should I close it to the floor now? Sorry.
All right. Okay, Angie Williams. Please go ahead.
Hello, board. Hi, my name is Angie Williams, and I am a real estate consul from NIPSCO. And I'm wanted to participate in this meeting for just a few minutes because I am working on, or I'm hoping that I can get a little bit of guidance from the board on this. I happen to be working on a lease agreement that was presented to me by Tom Dugan, who is a former city attorney for the city of Portage. So he presented me with a lease, which is currently expired. It is a very lengthy 86-page lease that was executed back in 1994 between, here's the parties who are part of the agreement, the Portage Marina Project, the city of Portage, NIPSCO, and the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission. So the lease has since expired, but as I understand, the city of Portage is still using the property that's part of the lease. So there's a lot of confusion since this lease is so dated as to
You know, before you get into the weeds, Angie, this is Bill. Have you sent this to Mr. Repay's office yet?
I have not, and that's part of what
the best way to be able to move this through the process, as opposed to in the public sector here, is to be able to send it to Dan so we can review, you know, 90s paperwork to see if it's as much fun as the 80s paperwork that we have to operate.
Okay. All right. Yes. And that's really what I was looking for. I just want to give a little background to see if anyone was familiar with it and to find out who I should contact related to this.
It would be Mr. Repay.
All right. Excellent.
Okay.
And I believe that Ms. Barb Lusco is also participating. I'm not sure if she's still on the call. I believe she wanted to provide a little bit of comment too. I know I've been working with her on it too.
Barb, go ahead. You're on mute.
Unmute yourself, Barb.
Okay. Hi, good evening, everybody. My name is Barb Lusco, and I'm the harbor master at the Sammy Mulletta Marina, which is used to be the Portage Public Marina. We inherited the marina, I think, in the 1970s from the Little Calumet River Basin Project. However, we don't have any proof of ownership of the marina property, and that prohibited us last year from obtaining a $100,000 grant because we could not prove ownership of the marina by the Portage Port Authority. Do you suggest getting a hold of Dan Repay on this one too?
Sounds like the same issue.
Yes, it is. It is. It's all related.
Okay. Then yes, it would all be folded together because then that's going to have to go through lawyers. And you can see just in trying to clean up, you know, sticks in the river, it takes quite a bit of bureaucracy to move the program along. So we look forward to at least reviewing what you guys are trying to accomplish.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. This is... Sure. It's taken me about 3 years to get to this point here. So thank you.
I know the feeling. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you all so much. I appreciate it. And Mr. Repay, I'll definitely be in touch with you.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
All right. No one else has asked to comment. So I think we are good.
Okay. Well, thank you everybody for coming out. And then we'll just wrap it up with going around and let the commissioners do it. I'm just going to go in line here. Commissioner Ware, anything?
Nothing at this time besides stay safe and keep your family safe.
Mr. Wicklund?
Nothing to add.
Mr. Castellanos?
Compliments to the Isaac Walton League and a new environmental group in Gary called Brown Faces, Green Spaces, who came out to the Chase Street Marshall or Strict Station and did all the cleanup. As a matter of fact, they found tires and toiletries, all kind of dump stuff in the river there they cleaned out. So kudos to them. Looking forward to working with them in the future.
Good. Mr. Whitaker.
Again, thank you for everyone for coming out, joining us. I think I saw 30 participants. That's pretty impressive considering on the short notice. So thank you, Joey, for arranging everything and making it such a smooth transition for everyone. Other than that, that's all I have, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Wyszlinski.
Got a lot of positive things going on. We just need to keep the momentum going on. Thank you for everyone for participating in this.
Mr. Nimitz.
I have nothing to add.
Mr. Ochi.
Yeah, I would like to thank Chairman Baker, fellow commissioners, Dan and Jody, especially, for being part of this board for the last year. It's my, I guess, my one-year anniversary, and it's been a great experience, and I look forward to the next few years too, working with you guys. It's been good.
Thank you. Mr. Gazdecki.
Yes, I'd like to thank everybody that took the time to listen to us tonight. I can't wait to get back in person and, you know, see people and shake hands and get back to the old ways. But I think the commission and the public has a lot to be proud of what we've been able to accomplish over the last 10, 12 years. It truly is, you know, outstanding to see deliverables. There was an old guy that said boots on the ground, and I think we're getting it done. And I keep encourage everyone to keep involved. And don't forget to vote.
All right, thank you. The next meeting will be in November. It'll be the third Wednesday. Check the website on the location and if we're going to try to get together and do it in person. That being said, thank you, everybody, for coming out and helping us move this thing along. And I'll entertain a motion to end this meeting. Second? All those in favor? Aye. Be safe, everybody.